was really excited to show you this because I made friendship bracelets for the crab plushes that you got us.
I
made it while I was watching this movie to like lean into the ADHD of it all. But now that I have it in my hands, I'm like, it's giving, could a depressed person make this?
Yes, because one did.
Yeah, exactly. But yes.
That's so cute, though. That's adorable.
I'm very pleased. I'll have to send you a Pedro Pascal photo card for to hold in his little...
Please do. Please do.
Oh, my God. You're listening to the Super Sapphic Film Club.
You are, somehow.
I'm Haley.
I'm Claire.
And every other week, we watch a different Super Sapphic film.
We do. We really do.
From the woman, love woman, non-binary, love woman canon that we made up. And this week is a little late. We tried to do this in honor of the Lunar New Year, but we are late. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But we watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, we did.
One of my favorite movies.
A fantastic movie.
Such a good film. We watched this for the first time together, and I remember feeling like I was seeing Trump colors.
Yes. So good.
Great.
I think the only three times maybe I've watched this movie have been with you.
I that sounds right. I know we watched the director's commentary once together, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. I saw that to keep the plot details under wraps before the trailer was released for this movie, the IMDb synopsis said, it's about a 55-year-old Chinese woman trying to finish her taxes.
That is so great.
Hysterical to me. So that's your plot synopsis for today.
Yeah, there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you need to know about this movie.
I enjoy the Daniels a lot. But yeah, but the other, but what the,
push through.
But this movie is a fantastic movie. It's came out in 2022. It's Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. They're mostly known as the Daniels. They're a directing duo that you might know from Swiss Army Man. Did you ever watch that?
I think I did.
Yeah.
But I don't remember almost anything about it.
It was also weird, but I feel like it was like this movie, but for straight white guys. Still really good. It just didn't like punch directly into my heart, even though I'm very much a white woman.
Yeah. I was going to say, this movie, I love it. I think it's a fantastic movie. It does not hit me like in the that same way I've seen it hit other people. Like, I find it very moving. Yeah. I think everything about it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I don't often, like, think about it unless I'm actively watching it.
That's so like, interesting. I don't know.
It's just one of those things where, like, nothing's going to resonate with literally everyone. So.
Oh, yeah.
I have no critiques. No, but it should. She's pulling a gun on me
here
right now.
It is. No, that's so funny because I was rewatching it. I rewatched it twice for this episode because I have no chill. And I was realizing that this movie maybe kind of changed my life, question mark.
Did it? How so?
I really resonate with the philosophy of this film. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between the mom and the daughter is like really, really hits home for me. But let me tell you what this movie's about before we get there. Yeah, no,
tell
fuck,
us
you're
the
right.
One.
I'm so sorry. Okay, Everything Everywhere All at Once follows Evelyn, played by Michelle Yeoh, who in the midst of the business she owns with her husband, played by Ki Hui Kwan, being audited by the IRS and her deteriorating relationship with her gay adult daughter, Stephanie Hsu, she discovers that she is the only person across multiple universes who has the power to stop a reality-ending entity known as Jobu Tapaki.
Love.
Wah, wah, wah. And if you haven't seen this movie and you have any interest, I recommend you going and doing that.
You really, really, really should. Like, it's fantastic.
That's the spoiler-free one. Spoilers ahead. Mm-hmm. Jobu Tapaki is actually Joy in a different universe, her daughter. Mm-hmm. So the whole film becomes about, like, how to stop Joy without killing her, which is what everyone else wants Evelyn to do. And insanity ensues, and it's so fucking good. It's crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, it is really hard to talk about this film just because I love it so much. And also there's like 9 million things going on.
There's so much going on. Yes.
like, I could maybe write like 4 different essays on this and still not have scratched the surface. And there's also like still so much in it that I just like don't really have the cultural context to be able to speak very intelligently on. Mm-hmm. But it's just so fucking good. I felt on like
it's so good.
3 different rabbit holes, just like mid movie to like. There's a really fantastic interview with the costume designer because the costume design is so fucking so good. I'll put that in the show notes. The costume designer's name is Shirley Karata. But I'll put that article in the show notes because I don't really know what I could say except just like verbatim reading the article to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except it was really interesting how she actually, like, for a lot of the costumes, she didn't even do preliminary sketches. Like, she only had 1.5 months to prep for the film. So it's just, like, they'd be like, oh, we'll have this universe and you can just do whatever. And she just, like, found it and created
That's
it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That must have been so fun.
Right? Yeah. God. And there's just so many good looks.
It's really good. The costuming is so fun. The effects are so fun.
And they're so, like, it was such a small team, and it was so, like, simply done, but so inventive. Like,
mm-hmm.
God, this movie.
It's incredible. For people who somehow would like to listen to this episode without having watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I honestly wouldn't recommend. I think you should go watch it first and then come back. But if you want to, I can't stop you. A lot of the movie is about, like, parallel universes, different universes, and, like, sort of hopping back and forth between them and, you know, gaining sort of the knowledge of your other universe's selves and stuff like that. So there's so much opportunity for cool costuming and cool effects. There's lots of flickering back and forth between different universes. It looks sick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
And like the actual, like the glass shattering effect they use to like when she's initially splitting between where it's like a glass overlay of a fracture.
I don't really remember now, but
it's just really
cool. I did actually rewatch like the first 45 minutes of the movie just so I remembered everything. I didn't rewatch the whole thing for this because I've already seen it like 3 times. But
gotcha.
But I don't remember the effect they used for that.
It was cool. No, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think why this movie resonates with me so much is because even though I'm not a 55-year-old Chinese woman, I do deeply feel the like being crushed by what you felt was your potential that you never lived up to. And like just the whole opening sequence before the Everything title card, like the first, this movie is split into 3 parts, Everything, Everywhere, and the 3rd part being All at Once. And it's just like such a strong opening sequence. Like it's incredible the amount of stuff that they set up to be paid off later. It's like, it's such a dense movie that like, this was my like 5th time rewatching it and I still was like catching new details. Like it moves so quickly. I feel like this movie is like made for people with ADHD where it's just like.
I have a funny fact about that actually. Yeah. Sorry, all I have is fun facts to bring to this.
I love, facts are so fun.
Who doesn't love a fun fact? Apparently the Daniels admitted that their original idea for the movie was that the main character would have undiagnosed ADHD and that our rather insensitive idea was that the main character was so distractible that they could tap into other universes. And then through researching...
That is what it feels like though.
Right? I know. Honestly, not offended. Especially because through researching the condition, Daniel Kwan discovered he himself had undiagnosed ADHD.
King!
That's so fucking funny. I love that. It's so funny that you like picked up on that. That's like ADHD movie. And they were like, yeah, actually, now that you mention that.
No, but like legitimately, the way that like, oh my gosh, the whole like her not being able to pay attention during the IRS meeting and like the inattentiveness and also the like when she's talking with Joy in the beginning, they're having like 2 separate conversations because she's like so focused on like her track that she can't even listen to Joy. like, oh my God, it's me and my mom.
Yeah.
I love you, Mom. I do think you kind of have ADHD.
At both of our moms, perhaps. I'm just saying.
It's
genetic.
I'm just saying.
I know, but like a lot of times too, I will like if someone approaches me and I'm doing something and they start saying the first half of their sentence before being like, Claire, and then like starting their sentence, I will not hear the first entire half of it. Yes. I don't know what you just said to me. I don't understand.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there for that first half. You have to be like, Claire, give me a minute. Come back to Earth from wherever I am.
You have to give me my Soviet Union, like, prime word. Or what's exactly. that called?
I don't remember. Like, your sleeper agent.
Activating. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
Your code word.
I know. There's like a word for it. It's like your wake word or something.
Your kill code. Is it the kill code?
Is it? Hold on. Sleeper agent activation phrase.
Sleeper agent won't turn on.
It's just like activation phrase.
Okay. No, that's so true. And also the like, oh my God, her having the like part of the audit being like her thinking that her hobbies are businesses. I'm like, did you have to read me that hard?
She's like, I'm a singer. That's why we have to have a karaoke machine at the laundry place where I work.
Exactly.
So funny.
So good. But in that intro title card, it actually like sets up each character's emotional payoff in the film. Actually, Wayman's might come just after the title card. But it was really cool to see like such direct lines. Like, so when I was watching this film, I noticed it first with Joy and the introduction of Becky to Gong Gong and how she's like trying to introduce Becky, who is her girlfriend, her longtime partner, as her girlfriend, and Evelyn
to her grandfather.
To her grandfather. Yes, yeah. Thank you. And Evelyn is like insisting that like Gong Gong can't handle it. Like just like he's old. Don't worry about it. Like it's you. He can't accept it. So she like interferes and stops Joy from introducing Becky as her girlfriend, and they like go out to the car, and like Joy is like upset and leaving, and it's like she's not going to go help with the IRS building anymore. She's just going to leave, and instead of like saying anything to like comfort her or apologize, Evelyn's just like, "You're getting fat."
Yeah. Oh, it's such a good moment though, honestly, because you can really see in Evelyn's face that she like maybe doesn't feel bad, but like feels something and like wants to communicate the love she has for Joy to her.
Yes.
And knows that Joy's upset and like, you know, maybe regrets it, hard to say, but there's like something complicated happening. And all that comes out is you're getting fat. It's so like, like frustrating, but also like in a good way. And of course, obviously devastating to Joy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I just love about this film is that it's like Evelyn, it's, oh my God. Like I've never watched a film where like a character does so much internal change and it's so like clearly externalized and in ways that are satisfying and believable. Because both of those sequences have direct parallels in the third act, where Evelyn, like, having realized that her, like, not accepting Joy is, like, her kind of projecting the way that her father never accepted her and never approved of her. And she kind of, like, takes Joy's queerness as, like, a failure or, like, you know, it's not what she expected or wanted and doesn't think that Gong Gong will, like, accept her. So once she has that realization of like, I'm not going to do what you did to me, to my daughter, like I'm breaking that cycle. That's when she like takes Becky and Joy and is like, this is her girlfriend. And it's like,
I'm so sweet.
And she has this, oh my God, this, it's just so well written. Like she's talking about how like Joy is a mess and she's like stubborn, but like she's been so lucky to find someone who balances out what she doesn't have and is sweet and kind and patient. And like she's talking about Wayman and Becky at the same time. And it's just like, if I could eat the script, I would.
So good.
So one of the main conflicts of the film is like Evelyn being unhappy with her life. And how that unhappiness with herself and disappointment in herself, like, bleeds into her other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, we kind of talked about with, like, the judgment that she feels towards Joy. But a big aspect of that is her relationship with her husband, Waymond, who she left China. She followed him to America to start this business and, like, start over. And, you know, in the multiverse jumping, it's kind of confirmed that in a lot of other universes where she stayed home, like she's more successful. Mm-hmm. And throughout all this, like Waymond is silly. He's a goofy guy. I'm in love with him. He puts googly eyes on the laundry bags. He like, so as an attempt to like save their marriage, Waymond like is files for a divorce.
He's not like, the standard way to save a marriage, but like, right. Who am I to judge?
But it was kind of like his Hail Mary of like, you know, I've seen other people like, you know, start to work things through because it's like an, oh, fuck, this is where we're at. All right. Mm-hmm. And there's a line where they're like in one of the universes where it's like after that they've been to the IRS building and she like learns about, you know, her movie star life. She's also like still in the car with him having this conversation about a divorce. And he's like, you always like, you know, think you would have been better off not marrying me. And she's like, when did I say that? I never said that. And he's like, well, you don't have to. It's how you look at me.
Ow.
The movie universe is one of my favorites. I just think how it's like shot and told is really, really fantastic. I'm a sucker for Wong Kar-wai. He's one of my favorite directors. I still have not subjected you to his films yet, but I promise I will.
Okay.
But he's a Hong Kong director, and he's a really, really big deal in like the Hong Kong, I don't know if it's New Wave, if that's what they call it. I'm not going to Google it. I'm very sorry. But his movies are known for like having these operatic love stories about how time works against you and how like fickle the timing of the, like, it's like the antithesis of like, it's a miracle anytime two people fall in love at the same time with each other. Mm. That was barely a sentence, but I think you get
it. No, that made sense to me. Yeah.
Okay. I said time a little too many times and now I'm like bugging out.
Like the typical thing is like, it's a miracle anytime people are in the right place and they, you know, like each other and they're like the same in the same place in life that they're able to fall in love. You're saying it's like the opposite of that?
Yeah. It's like, it always focuses, his most famous films focus around couples who like are perfect for each other, but because of circumstance or when they meet each other, like they'll just never be.
Oh yeah.
And so I think it's so fantastic that a lot of the movie sequence, the movie star universe, the homage to Wong Kar-wai kicks in right as Waymond is at the premiere and she sees him for the first time since she didn't go with him to America.
Wow.
And it's like so well done because like she's in this beautiful like theater, like foyer, and she's at the bottom of this like ornate staircase and she looks up and she sees Waymond, and then they use this like really cool effect called step printing, which Wong Kar-wai is like known for, where they shoot film at 12 frames per second and then they print each frame twice and run it at 24 frames per second, so it gives this like painted stuttery look that's just
that.
Like it's very romantic, it's very like I love his films because they just like, they're so emotional and so, I don't know, there's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then to have like this missed connection love story of like, here is Evelyn and Waymond at arguably their most successful. Evelyn's this like huge kung fu movie star and Waymond's this like big shot CEO. He's got this like slick suit on, these really like hot dad glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like talking about what could have been. And it's in this character and also through Waymond in the normal universe that Ki Hui Kwan like delivers what I think is like the thesis of the film. And like, thank fucking God he got an Oscar for it. Cause I don't think I would have.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I cry every time I rewatch his like him winning an Oscar.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
It's great. But he talks about how it's like, you always, like your dad always said I was too sweet for this world. And that like, you know, but I've been alive as many days as you have. And me seeing the good in things is a deliberate and strategic choice.
I thought you were going to say that the thesis was in another universe, I would have liked doing laundry and taxes with you.
An incredible line.
It's so good.
But I don't think it's the thesis.
Okay.
I think it is integral to Evelyn realizing that, like, you know, this ephemeral potential that she could have lived up to and her not stacking up and having all this judgment to the life she's leading is, like, you know, it you could have been more successful, but not any happier. Like, mm-hmm. to me, the main thesis is more along the lines, like, if nothing matters, why should I try? Isn't really the response, like, the actual response is, like, if nothing really matters, then, like, why wouldn't you try? Mm-hmm. God, this is why I could never take philosophy classes, because I get so, it's all so broad, I get so confused so easily.
It's fair. It's also, it's a hard movie to talk about.
There's just, like, a lot going on, because it's,
yeah,
it's, and I think it's because it's talking about, like, such big emotional responses to, like, how to exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I feel strongly that the, like, seeing the good in things is a deliberate and strategic choice, like, is the thesis. Like,
mm-hmm.
because the whole thing about Jobu Tupaki is that she was created by Alpha Evelyn, who Alpha Universe is where they discovered how to do the multiverse jumping. And Evelyn is the one who discovered that, and Joy was, like, really good at it, and she pushed her to do science fiction things that eventually broke her mind and created Jobu Tupaki. And Joy's whole response to, like, seeing everything everywhere all at once is, you know, apathy. Like, you know, what I do is meaningless, so, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Hence why she put everything on a bagel, and now it's sucking up the universe and slowly consuming.
I'm so sorry. Literally, this is not going to make sense if you've never watched the movie, and it's, like, it's impossible to make it make sense.
It's barely making sense to me. Yeah. And I love this film. But I think that's, like, also, I don't know. I take a lot of umbrage with people who don't understand why the silly stuff is there, because I think it was a really deliberate choice of, like, if we're going to talk about, like, this, like, massive, like, is nihilism a valid thing? How do we bring ourselves back from the mm-hmm. edge? How do we exist yeah. in entropy? Is, like, you're gonna have to have, like, a kung fu fight with dildos. Like, it's yeah. just it's just about how balance. It's
gonna have to be. Yeah. And, like, there's the fucking thesis again.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean justify the silliness in this movie? Justify not having silliness in this movie.
This movie asks not why, but why not?
Exactly. I am such a fan of, I can't remember the phrase. It's not, like, optimistic nihilism, but, like, positive nihilism.
Oh.
Of, like, nothing matters. And, like, yeah. that's actually amazing.
Absurdism.
Because. Could be. I don't know, absurdism. I don't know if that's exactly how I think of it, but mm-hmm. maybe that's, like, the term I just haven't heard of for what I'm talking about. But mm-hmm. like, nothing matters, so you should do, like, whatever is best, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, like, divine path of the universe. There is no thing you would have been if you did X instead of Y.
Yeah.
Like, just do your best, man.
Yes.
We are all, you know, not to be, like, frat guy having the first drug of his life at a college party. But, like, we are all on a floating rock in space, my bros.
My guy.
My dudes. So it'd be like that. I should stop saying that.
Kaisen took shrooms and now he's pro-choice.
Yeah.
Discovered human empathy.
God almighty.
No, but it's true. Like, that's exactly, like, that is the whole point of this movie. And I think, like, what you just said of, like, it's seeing the good in things is, like, a choice. It's not naive or silly, but it's, like, it is something that you do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the apathy will get you. The bagel will get you.
The everything bagel of apathy will get you eventually. If you are not careful,
if you
it comes for us all.
They reel you in with poppy seeds, and then you're suicidal.
Yeah. It's a two-step process.
Oh, my God. I almost had soda come out my nose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so when I was watching this the first time, like, carefully taking notes, trying to have something interesting to say, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't think Evelyn has, like, that first act, second act payoff like Joy has with introducing Becky. And, oh, my God, the Waymond one. The Waymond one is that he, oh, my God, it's so fucking cute. Sorry.
Hit me.
When they go into the IRS building, he sees this older Asian couple. And like, you know, he's clearly like, I want me and Evelyn to be that. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the film, right before they go up and see Deirdre, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, who is their IRS auditor, he like goes into the bathroom and Evelyn's like, let me hold your bag. And they like kiss outside of the bathroom.
Aww,
and it's really good.
So sweet. Just like that older couple did.
Exactly. Also, Michelle Yeoh has like three separate times where she has a, like, it's the funniest face to me. Like, she's such an incredible actress, but like, it's literally like, she pulls a face of, like, God, my husband's kind of sexy, isn't he?
Love that. Go off, queen.
So good. She's a delight.
She really is amazing.
Oh, yeah. So I thought Evelyn, like, didn't have a third act payoff, but it's exactly that car scene of, like, after Joy is again, like, leaving. She's really upset after Evelyn introduced Becky to Gong Gong, and she's like ready to go, and she has this speech that fucking kills me, where she's just like, I want to be around you, but it just hurts, and I feel like all we do is hurt each other, so I'm just gonna go. And Evelyn's like, okay. And then she's like, no, I like, nothing matters, but I want to be here with you. Like, we're all like specks of dust, and like, in the grand scheme of time, there are much better places I could be, but I want to be here with you. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Everything's fine.
I'm fine. And that was her third act, like, the payoff, where it's like, what mm-hmm. she really wanted was to be emotionally vulnerable with her daughter and like tell her how much she means to her, even if she's not good at showing that, or even if there are, you know, if she'd rather be a, you know, opera singer or a movie star or a lesbian with hot dog fingers with Deirdre. Like, she wants to be here with her daughter who dropped out of college and got a tattoo. Yes. She doesn't like.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's so good.
I think I'm just like full on fucking rambling, but I
like it though. I think it's good.
Oh
no, I think it's good because like you were saying earlier, this movie's so dense with yeah. like stuff. The themes are out the wazoo with this
yes.
movie. And people could walk away with this movie with like 1,000 different takes of what it was even mainly about.
Yeah.
Or like what resonated most deeply with them.
Yeah.
So like when I left this movie after watching it, even like twice plus the director's commentary, mm-hmm. like probably an above average number of times that people would watch this movie in general, my takeaway was like the relationship between Evelyn and Joy and between Evelyn and Waymond. But I sort of forgot about the nihilism part. Like, even though that's such like a giant part of the movie now that you mention it, like
it's the bagels. Now,
but, like,
sorry.
It's the fucking bagels. But it's just, it's honestly, it's not that it's confusing. It's just that there's so much going on that I think most people literally just wouldn't be able to pick apart every bit of this movie in the first 5 watches even.
No, like, for real. For real. Yeah. I think this movie is a Rorschach test.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What's your damage?
Yeah.
Because I think that's, like, I do really, and it's all, it's, and it's so intelligent because it's, like, they're all so interwoven that it's like you couldn't like pluck one string and just take it out and have it be the same film. Like they are very much interdependent parts, even though they are so like different.
Yes. And they all do like cohere in a very good, cool way. It's not like too much happening. It's just a lot happening.
It's just a lot happening.
Yeah.
And I think that like makes a lot of sense of why it resonates with like millennial and Gen Z audiences more, just because like we are used to being inundated with images and information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't know. I just like, I felt like it was, so two things. This is a safe space. I feel like I still don't fully understand the bagel, but I'm at peace with that.
I'm raising my hand in solidarity with you right now. I also literally don't understand the bagel still, but I'm down still for the vibes.
But I also like, I feel like that's just like kind of the point, question mark. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it could be a really salient metaphor for like depression and, you know, because I do, when I was watching it this time, I have a hard time, and this is just me and my interpretation, seeing Joy going into the bagel and like Evelyn letting her go to the car to leave and like end their relationship is like a metaphor for suicide, to me at least.
You have a hard time seeing it that way, or seeing that is it, how you see it?
It's fucking hell. I can't construct a sentence to save my life. I have a hard time seeing it as anything else. Like, I fully, okay. I don't, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, that was their intent, but that is how I read it.
I think that's a fair reading of it.
You know, because it's like, yeah. When you are so, like, depressed and, like, just, like, everything is pointless, it's just like, yeah, like, why am I alive? Like, what's the point? And I think that's part of why this movie hits so home for me. It's just like, well, why not? Like,
yeah.
Maybe you're meant to, like, you know, be on this silly rock and make friendship bracelets for the plush that your friend got you at 27 years old. Like, maybe that's my life purpose.
Yes. Hard agree.
I'm so glad I didn't kill myself at 16 for this little crap.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything was leading up to this.
Yeah. When he was 27, my granddad fought in Vietnam. When I was 27, I built a birdhouse with my mom. Oh, fuck. How am I 30? Sorry. You can cut all that out, but it just resonated with me. When I was 27, I made friendship bracelets for the stuffed crab toy that my friend gave me.
Stop. Ooh. Oh my god. Fucking hell.
Ooh. Bo Burnham is a genius among our time,
honestly. What a guy.
And also the donut is like the antithesis of the googly eye, and I didn't get that at all until you told me. Literally, never crossed my fucking mind.
I forgot about that. Thank you for.
Of course.
This is like my MatPat game theory. Like, I haven't seen this anywhere else.
I was like, that makes so much sense. I believe it fully. They must have written it down somewhere. Haley's a genius.
I hope so, because I still like. God, I meant to like. I've always meant to, like, articulate that better, but it's, like, I don't know. It's something. A void can be everything and nothing. Like,
yeah.
The void in a googly eye is what gives it its silly, goofy meaning.
Yes.
But, like, the...
Like, the shape is the same. The interpretation can be hugely different.
And they're, like, a googly eye and a bagel is, like, both defined by, like... its center, which is nothing.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. Two people can look at the same thing and see completely different things, like nihilism as nothing matters, and so why do I even exist? And nihilism as nothing matters, and so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I'm really interested to, like, have sociologists unpack in, like, 10 years why this particular set of philosophy is so impactful for our time. I'm sure it has something to do with late-stage capitalism, as it always does, but...
Yeah. I do think so. I think it's, like, my take, at least, is it's the crumbling of everyone who used to believe in, or at least pretended they believed in, the American dream.
Yeah.
And how, like, actually, it's a great life if you work long hours at a job that ultimately means basically nothing, at a workplace that actively doesn't care about you and often is actively exploiting you, is almost always actively exploiting you, but some worse than others. And so, like, how do you continue to go to the job you probably hate, like, under those circumstances when, like, everything people were telling you growing up is like, this is what will bring meaning to your life, feels completely, like, meaningless and actively depressing.
Like,
that's my like. Then that message would resonate with a lot of it. Resonates with me. The nihilism thing. It's like, you know, you have to find meaning somewhere else because those ones are completely worthless.
Yeah. No. And I think that's a fantastic point, because there's a moment where Evelyn accesses all of the multiverse in the same way that Jobu Tupaki does, and when that happens, she is, like, immediately very destructive in all the universes. She reveals Rakakuni below that guy's, from Kevin from Glee's head.
Yes, I forgot about that.
She, like, breaks up with Deirdre and the universe where they're lesbians together. She breaks the window at the laundromat and, like, tells Deirdre to go fuck herself in, like, the universe where they're being audited at the laundromat. And I think that that's another great part of why this movie resonates so much and why I think it's such a strong thesis is, like, it shows, like, how easy it is to destroy things and to, like, give in and say, like, fuck this, it doesn't matter, don't give a shit, I'll blow things up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But then to, like, show that it's, like, more vulnerable and scary, but ultimately, like, the stronger choice is to build things, to, like, see the good in things and, like, share a vape pen with Deirdre after you busted your windows. Like,
yes. And then go track down that raccoon that was under that guy's hat.
Exactly. Man is good.
Exactly. The duality of humanity.
I love that the emotional crescendo of, like, because, like, this is what I fucking love about, like, it's so, the multiverse is so well employed in this because you get to have the Joy and Evelyn just talking to each other outside of the car in the parking lot at the end of the film, where it's like, I would choose to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see it directly externalized in the universe where they're still in the, like, Kung Fu Battle Royale. Not Battle Royale, that's a different reference. Sorry, Queens. battle sequence at the IRS building where the bagel is, like, you know, Joy is trying to get into the bagel to be consumed finally. And you get to see during that conversation where she's saying, I would choose you, that she's, like, disarming Joy so that she can hug her and pull her away from the bagel. Like, And after having the moment with Gong Gong about, like, I'm not going to do, like, what you did to me with my daughter, you know, you get to see mech suit Gong Gong, like, helping to pull Joy out, too.
Like, it's so good. Like, this sounds silly as shit.
And it is
silly. But it's also so moving.
It's so incredibly moving.
Like, when you say, like, and then the grandfather comes over and he's in a mech suit and the girl is about to dive into a bagel, but her mom saves her. It's like, how can that be, like, serious? It's also serious.
And I literally can't watch it without crying.
Yeah. Like, us, like, sobbing at mech suit Gong Gong.
You are so determined to get that soda to go out my nose.
And I'm close. I'm close every time. Next time for sure.
She is rare. Oh my God. I feel like I haven't let you get any fun facts in. How are your...
Oh, you're good. Do I have one? Let's see. I have many. Hit me.
The kung fu in this movie cannot be ignored. It's so fun.
It's so good.
It's like, it's just so goofy and ridiculous, but also, like, incredibly well executed. Like, Michelle Yeoh is, like, she's been in so many kung fu movies. Like, she is well known for doing her own stunts from a young age. Like,
yes. And I didn't even know that Ki Hui Kwan did, like, a lot of his own stunts for that fanny pack fight scene. And there was, like, a few scenes where he did have a stunt person step in, but, like, that's so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, because it's during his time when he wasn't working, like, on screen as an actor, he was, like, finding a lot of success as a stunt coordinator.
I didn't even know that. That's crazy. Yeah.
So it's just, like, so incredible to, like, for a lot of reasons, to see these two actors in, like, a film like this, but also to just, like, have them get their flowers, kind of, and, like, have these really intricate, fun sequences.
Yes.
Like, Michelle Yeoh is so fucking good at the, like, scene where she's, like, she multiverse jumps so that she can get the skills of the movie star who's a kung fu master. And she's, like, so confused the whole time how she's doing it. And it's just,
it's
like,
so funny. I love it. I do have an interesting fact, actually. Like, apparently this movie originally was going to be a man as the main character, as the Evelyn character. And they actually had, like, Jackie Chan in mind for the lead role. But they changed it to be a woman because they thought it made the husband-wife relationship more convincing.
Mm.
This is, like, taken, like, practically verbatim from, like, the Amazon, like, trivia, which I think is from IMDb trivia. So just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
I didn't write this whole thing. But, like, I think that's so cool, honestly. Like,
that's really cool.
First of all, it's doing what I keep telling people they should do, which is to write a movie in whatever way they want and then later change a male character to a female character. Because so many people, I'm sure the Daniels can do a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, and that, you know, but whatever. So many people honestly cannot do a good job. And they write woman first, person second. Yes. And it's so fucking annoying.
Or they're like, let's write a woman. What problems do women have? Exactly. Oh, yes. It's the most predictable sexist thing you can imagine.
Exactly. So, like, I honestly think it's such a good intermediary step in between people figuring out how to write women is just to write a man and then make it a woman. Because then if you're thinking to yourself, like, but would a woman have these problems? The question is yes. You fucking idiots. Because, like, the Waymond-Evelyn dynamic, like, the fact that she is, like, sort of the distant, work-oriented one.
Yo.
And he is the one, like, craving this emotional closeness.
Yeah.
Is, like, typically a dynamic that would be written as their genders being swapped.
Right.
But I think
a really good point.
So well, like, the way that it ended up being.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah.
Ki-Hui Kwan is, like, literally the perfect casting for that.
He's so perfect. I want to cry every time he's like clearly craving emotional closeness with her in the beginning. And she's just like so clearly annoyed by him. It just like genuinely hurts to watch.
No more Google eyes.
No, I know. No more Google eyes. Stop dancing with the customers. I'm trying to have a no fun, only serious day.
Waymond.
Oh,
also, I noticed that Waymond's fanny pack has a pig on it. And I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder if that's like a zodiac thing. So I Googled it and Ki-Hui Kwan was born in the year of the pig. But that's a coincidence. Because then later when Joy is Jobu Tupaki and Evelyn meets her for the first time, she comes out in the Elvis costume with a pig on a leash. And I was like, interesting.
I forgot about the pig on the leash.
Yeah, right. And then like 2 minutes later, she's like, you got a tattoo. And like, she shows the tattoo and it's a pig. And I was like, okay.
Okay. There's a lot of pigs happening right now. What's the deal?
So apparently the Chinese character for family has a pig inside a house.
Aww.
And I should just read this whole thing. Sorry.
Okay.
The Chinese character Jia consists of two radicals. One is Xie and the other is Mian. Xie can stand on its own as a character and in fact means hog or wine. On the other hand, Mian is not a character and can only act as a radical. It is also called the roof radical. The first Chinese symbol for home was a pictograph of a pig inside a house. So
that's so cool.
I think the pig is like, it represents family. And that's like that. It was only after I Googled all that, that her final line of like, I know you get a tattoo that I don't like, even though you said it's supposed to be represent our family.
Aww.
I was like, okay,
here we go. Also, I literally know people who have that exact situation where they like got a tattoo that represents their family and then their parents hate it. So it's like, it's very funny to me to see that represented on screen.
Like, God, I feel like this isn't derogatory at all, but like the most millennial versus like Gen X thing ever. Gen X boomer.
Very true. Yes. It's literally the group of people too. It's like, it's millennials that I know who did that.
Exactly. And like, yeah. Good for them. That is like not,
yeah,
not non-derogatory.
Did you hear, we can cut this out. Did you hear Awkwafina was in talks for a role in this movie? Probably as Joy.
Honestly, I think she could have killed it. Like,
yeah.
The Farewell is one of my favorite movies, and she did such a fantastic job.
I keep forgetting she did such a good job in The Farewell.
Because she's like, you know, I think it's just like a thing of like, the things that she's most known for are her poorest acting job.
Yeah.
So fair. It's like, Ocean's
that Dragon
8
one
sucked.
That I fucking hate.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Claire, the thing that got Lindsay Ellis got super mega canceled over.
I totally forgot. That was what she got super mega canceled for.
Yeah.
I can't trust you guys with fucking anything.
I have to pay Nebula so I can get Lindsay Ellis content.
Because you guys couldn't be cool about her one Raya video.
Oh my God. It was a tweet. It wasn't
a
video.
Yeah, it was even a video.
Oh my God.
Of course, though, honestly, it's almost always tweets.
Always. Yeah, that's
it's always tweets.
The easiest
videos
thing
are
to
too complicated.
File.
Yeah.
And you actually have to watch them.
You have to watch them? Ew. First of all, I'm not going to do that.
But yeah. And also, like, Crazy Rotations is a good movie. It's, you know, a landmark in Asian representation. Yeah. But also her character was just annoying and not that funny.
Who even was Awkwafina in Crazy Rich Asians?
You probably don't recognize her because she was wearing this like very short blonde bob wig.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm Googling this. Oh, okay. No, that looks familiar now. Yeah. I think I only saw this once, so I literally just... She's, like, has a pretty minor role in it, right?
Yeah, she's, like, in the friend comedic relief. But there's right, also just, like, yeah, a lot going on in that film, so... She's not a standout. That's I so mean, like, funny. Michelle Yeoh, like, literally yeah, is giving a masterclass in acting, my God. So...
Love Michelle Yeoh in that movie.
And Gemma
so
Chan.
Gemma Chan.
Ugh. And, oh, my gosh, what's the main woman's name? She was in The Feels. Oh, my God. Constance Wu. She was really
oh yeah! Oh, I forgot about her in The Feels.
Yeah, Constance Wu from The Feels.
From The Feels, yeah. She's like,
whoa!
Do not whoa, ever talk to me again.
No pictures. No pictures.
Yeah, no pictures.
But no. But that is a shame that like the things that Awkwafina is good in, like Nora from Queens and The Farewell, are like not as culturally relevant as all the yeah, other stuff she's done.
Yeah,
where she just like that's plays true, Awkwafina.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. I bet she would have done well. But also, I love Stephanie Hsu so much.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She was robbed. Sorry. Is that rude to say that she was robbed at the Oscars?
I don't think so. Who won okay, instead?
It was the fucking IRS lady.
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
That's bullshit.
She won for this movie. Thank you.
Yeah. See, this is what I hate about the Oscars is that they'll do makeup awards. You know, they're like, fuck, we haven't.
We never gave Jamie Lee Curtis
shit,
one.
We yeah, never got. Fuck. Oh, yeah, my God. I guess Jamie Lee Curtis did a good job. Like, she
I thought she was really good in this movie. Like, I have no notes. You sound like you have notes. I had no notes.
I mean, I think it's just a personal thing. I think she did a really good job. And there are some scenes where I thought she was laying it on a little thick. But then it was like yeah, because she was like overacting so that Evelyn's character thought she was going to attack her or like.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are just some moments where I felt like she was kind of doing a caricature of like a middle class, middle American person.
Ooh, yeah.
But
Stephanie Hsu was so good.
But Stephanie Hsu was so good. So and like good, her audition went viral in like within a year. And it was for such a good reason. Like it was such a fantastic audition. And just like she's so like playful and intelligent. And I just like I can't wait to see her in more stuff.
I'm so excited to watch her audition.
It was so good.
Anyway, Stephanie Hsu, call me back, please.
Please.
Please. Ooh, I did see an interesting point, which is that mm-hmm, Evelyn speaks to her father in Cantonese, mm-hmm, but she speaks to Waymond in Mandarin, mm-hmm, like which shows cultural differences in their upbringing. Thank mm-hmm, you, IMDb trivia. And Evelyn speaks to Joy in Mandarin and English, and Joy answers back in English and bad Chinese. They said they called it bad Chinese.
No, that's actually a line too. Or like when she's like first speaking,
your Chinese gets worse every time I talk to you. Yeah,
exactly. And she's like, yes, and he's like, yes,
yes, yeah. I think that's funny. Which like shows like the literal communication boundaries mm-hmm, like, between all of these people, yeah, between Evelyn and all of the people
oh,
in her life.
That's God. Right. The levels in this movie.
It's so good. Ah! Yeah. Okay, I have another fun fact.
Hit
ready
me
for another fun fact.
I'm so ready.
All of the VFX for this movie was done by like 9 people and a core group of like 5 people, none of whom went to school for VFX. All of them learned by watching free tutorials online. That's crazy.
I love this movie.
It's so cool.
That's amazing.
Right?
Like, and it's so... God.
It looks sick. It looks amazing.
So good. And it's like so effective and like,
yeah,
because there's like a lot going on in this movie and like so much is communicated visually and like, well, like,
yeah,
God, that's crazy.
Right. Granted, it's not like they're creating a new monster or something out right, of VFX. Right. It's not like that kind of like CGI. It's a lot of like cuts and like cool edits and stuff like that. But it's so impressive.
Like even just like the multiple shots of like Michelle Yeoh being pulled by the office chair and then like the background going crazy. Like it's just
yes,
really good. Oh,
it's so cool. It's amazing.
Also, I feel like I just have to say for posterity that Gong Gong is played by James Hong, another like crazy been
oh my God,
everywhere
so,
actor.
Yes.
That I just don't, I'm not that familiar with because I unfortunately was born in 1997. So that is
yeah,
on me.
That is my fault. And I accept full responsibility. Also,
yes,
I love and respect that this movie does that thing where it shows the same actors playing their younger versions just yes. with like outdated hair yes. and outfits. Everyone yes. should do that. It's so much clearer.
It's so
to watch.
It's so much clearer, and it's so fun. And it's like,
so fun.
That's it's like it's one of those things that I love about theater is that like. You know, of course, like, how often does Michelle Yeoh get to play her when she was, like, 18? Like,
right?
What a fun challenge.
So cute. Yes.
Not her, but her character.
Yeah, exactly. She, like, has, like 18-year-old bangs, and she's, like, looking shyly at Waymond. It's so cute. It's
so cute. And I also love the Stephanie Hsu is, like, an emo teenager.
Yes! That's so funny. I love it.
So good. God.
It's great.
What
it's
a great movie. I love movie.
I love movie.
I love movie.
I love movie.
I love movie.
Have you seen that clip of who did Cody Coe marry? Really? Kelsey Krappel. She has a podcast, was on a podcast. I've only heard the audio clip. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But with this like guy who's like her friend. And she was like, yeah, well, I have bag. I'm just like, I have bag, I have purse, I have car full of, it's just like they went back and forth like, I have purse, and now I can't stop saying it. Oh my God, it's like so addictive to do. Like anytime you're like, what am I looking for? I have this, I have that, I have purse. I'm not explaining this right. I'm going to send you the TikTok.
Honestly, that's so, it reminds me of a bit from a Mike Birbiglia special.
Oh yeah.
Where they like went to this like prenatal yoga class and like, what are you hoping for, baby? And it's like, it's like, well, we just want baby to live. We talked to doctor and at hospital, and yeah. they're worried about baby being alive.
It's like, so funny. God, I need to keep watching more Mike Birbiglia stuff. So funny.
You really do. I understand not loving the new one, but his newest one, Man in the Pool, is all about him like getting healthy for the sake of his daughter. Mm-hmm. So it made the new one that also left a sour taste in my mouth a lot better on retrospect.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I just love that, like, how fun that a male comedian is like, I'm a piece of shit. Let's make a special about that.
Yeah.
I'm a piece
very
of
refreshing.
Shit, but my wife taught me to be better. So, like, let's make that a comedy special.
Yeah. Love that. Respect. Love. Nothing but respect.
Do you have any other fun facts?
Do I? Let's see. I honestly don't think I do. I think that was all of my fun facts.
And they were so fun.
They were very fun.
Can I tell you something? Go ahead.
Yes, tell me. Hit me.
So this line makes me laugh every single time because Michelle Yeoh is a gift and a national treasure, even though she's not American. Anyway. Waymond is like, this is like just after she's learned about multi-jumping, like they're trying to escape Jobu. And he's like, you can either come with me and live up to your ultimate potential or lie here and live with the consequences. I want to lie here.
When I was rewatching that, I like admired that again. So, I want to lie here.
So good.
Speaking of, there's so many references to The Matrix in this movie, and it did not actually like occur to me at all because I just associate them with the sci-fi genre now.
Oh,
like because
funny.
The Matrix was so influential.
Yeah.
Like that I when, you know, obviously like the red pill, blue pill, like that one. Mm-hmm. But also the like her on the cell phone, like hiding in the office and like crouching around. And then also the like activate the like fighting powers you never knew you had stuff.
Right.
Like that's just like I didn't even associate that with The Matrix.
Yeah.
I was just like
sci-fi
movie, of course. Yeah.
And also what like a wonderful moment of like full circle-ness. I loved how I said that. Where like The Matrix was so influenced by Kung Fu movies and like it's kind of what elevated like
that's so fun.
Kung Fu into the American consciousness, not like
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Kung Fu is very much a thing.
Yeah.
The Matrix,
Kung Fu actually barely existed before The Matrix.
Yeah. No.
I didn't mean that.
That was a joke.
It was a joke.
Oh, but speaking of like Kung Fu, Accented Cinema on YouTube, I'll link it in the show notes, did a really fantastic like career retrospective on Michelle Yeoh. It was just like really interesting to learn so much like more about where she came from and like how this movie was just like an apotheosis of like her career. And it's just like, I don't know. It was just a really good video. And also she started as like a beauty pageant queen. Like,
did she?
Yeah, she started as like a beauty queen. Like, her first job actually was a commercial with Jackie Chan.
You are joking. Yeah. That's so funny.
And then she, like,
I have to look it up.
Ended up in like other movies, but she was also all like, where she was like kind of just played the pretty girl, but she was like very much, what I mean, like, I want to be in fight scenes, like, put me in fight scenes.
Yeah.
And she got big into the kung fu movies, and then she retired for a while, and her first movie back was Police Story 3 with Jackie Chan.
You are joking. That's yeah. So funny. Oh my God, I found the commercial from 1984 with Jackie Chan and Michelle Yeoh. She's just like insanely gorgeous.
It's unreal. My God.
It's really, sorry, I just like blacked out for a minute.
Sorry.
What were we talking about?
My whole personality is Miss Malaysia 1984.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the year.
But. Exactly. The commercial was 1984.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Also, this is not a fun fact. This is just an opinion. Jenny Slate is so uncomfortably good at the, like, yeah, whatever, like, white person talking to a person of color in the service industry thing.
Yes.
It's, like, hard to watch a little bit, but honestly, so good. Because, like, Evelyn's like, we're having a party at the laundromat later. You should come by. And Jenny Slate's like, uh-huh. Like, clearly, like, hardly taking in a word she's saying, like, already thinking about her drive home or whatever. It's so dismissive and like perfectly done.
It's crazy. Like, you can literally, she's doing the real life equivalent of like skipping dialogue in a video game.
Exactly.
Like, I need this interaction to be over. That's, yeah, so, okay,
that's so,
wow,
true.
I love this.
Wow, nice. Yeah, okay, well, anyway, yeah, that's lovely. So hard to watch.
Oh my god. Also, this is like the only movie that has like dog violence that doesn't, like, it's so ridiculous that it doesn't make me even a little sad. Like, it's such clearly a stuffed dog that I've toy, yeah, that I'm like, it's kind of funny.
There's like hardly anything funnier to me than when someone picks up a real dog and then the shot cuts to them throwing a stuffed animal across the room.
It's so good.
It's so fucking funny. I'm laughing just at the mental image I've created. I'm not even thinking of a specific time I've seen it. Especially when it's like, oh, one God, of those stuffed animals that's like stiff. So it's like so fucking obvious it's a fake dog.
Oh my God. I literally have one that looks like Trixie, and it's in my storage unit. I think I need to do something
about
that.
Throw it across the room sometime, please. It's so good.
What a great movie. Go watch movie.
I have no more fun facts to say. Just go watch movie. It's so good. You literally do have to watch it once.
Just once.
And then maybe like five more times if you want to understand it.
And like, honestly, I think this is, I love reading screenplays. It's one of my favorite things. If you can get your hands on the screenplay to this and you didn't enjoy the film, I think you should give the screenplay a chance. Because there are so many good lines. Like, I was just writing stuff down. Like, another one that I love that like could easily be missed is like, we're all useless alone. Hello?
It's just like a throwaway line, and it's so good.
She says that to the raccoonie guy. Like,
oh. It's so good.
It's just, I love movie. Michelle Yeoh
is
so funny.
Individualism is a disease.
Like, you can't Walden yourself out of this one.
Yes. Individualism is a disease. Get well soon, bitch.
Get well soon. This is also, God, I'm so predictable. This is also like the thesis of Mopsego 100, which is like the only anime I legitimately love.
Love that. What's it called?
Mopsego 100.
Hell yeah.
It's a really fun show. I think you'd actually enjoy it. Really incredible art style, like innovative, like,
love.
Oh my God, the intro like did this like clear oil, like oil painting, like on glass. So it has this like really like scrubby, it's gorgeous.
I love that.
It's beautiful. Anyway, we're so off topic. It's been an hour and a half. It's been hour 14. Okay, sorry.
Okay, still.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
This was so fun.
Good movie.
Good talking to you, man.
Good talking, man.
Hey.
My God.
Good chat. Hey, it's
yeah,
this guy. Staying away from the alcohol.
They just let anybody in here, huh? Nothing but the oldest references.
Nothing. Thank you for listening. We have a movie list. We have a Patreon. But if all you do is listen, purse. I have
shut the fuck up. I have Patreon. I have movie list. I have purse.
I'm pulling the plug. We're going. We're out of here.
Okay, bye.